Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew, chapter 26. We'll read verses 14 through 16 together, responsively. And then we'll read several other verses throughout this passage. Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 through 16. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests, and said unto them, What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Skip down to verses 24 and 25. I'll read verse 24, and you'll join in with me on verse 25. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It has been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayeth him, said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. Skip down to verse number 47. We'll read verses 47 through 50 responsively. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that is hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Then turn to chapter 27, we'll read verses 3 through 5 responsively. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And let's finish on verse 5 together. Ready? And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for such a wonderful place that you've given us. Thank you for this group of people. Now, Father, we're a sinful people. We're a needy people. And though we often try very hard not to, we still fail you. Father, please fill our preacher with your power today. Give us what we need to hear from you through him today in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I will tell you the title of my sermon immediately here. It's entitled, Disloyal Judas. Disloyal Judas. I'm going to talk to you this morning and this evening about the subject of disloyalty. Today, I'm going to answer the question why I am so hard on those things that would destroy a church's spirit. You'll hear me often vocalize both my and the Lord's displeasure in regard to gossip in the church, criticism in the church, negative attitudes in the church, two-faced behavior in the church, disunity in the church, the sowing of discord among the brethren, wrong friendships within the church. Now, the lesson today is primarily for the health of our church, but let me tell you something. America needs to get her loyalty back. Employees need to learn this thing called loyalty for employers. Husbands need to learn and practice loyalty toward their wives. And wives need to practice loyalty with their husbands and for their husbands. Followers need to learn loyalty for their leaders. And there are some leaders that need to stop and realize that leaders are to be loyal to followers. Politicians need to get some loyalty to their commander in chief. This evening, I will preach the second half of this sermon. If you'd like to express your love for this church and you're concerned about its health both now and in weeks and months and years to come, I beg of you, I want you to come back tonight. Now, I really do not know of another church in America that has as high a percentage of people that return for the evening services as does ours. But really and honestly, please, oh please, try to be here so you can learn this important truth about loyalty. Today, we examine one of the most negative stories in the entire Bible. We read earlier some scripture from Matthew 26 and 27 about a man by the name of Judas. Judas is very famous. You don't have to be a regular church attender to have heard and learned something about Judas somewhere along the way. So today we examine one of the most negative stories in the Bible. Today we study the nasty behavior of disloyalty. And specifically, and especially, as it applies to a church and the work of God. This behavior of disloyalty has hurt more churches from the inside than any other sin, I'm sure. I receive calls from pastors across the country and out of the country who struggle with people that become disloyal in their churches. They call. Their hearts are broken. Their church is in disarray because of it. This behavior probably splits more churches than any other wrong behavior. It destroys pastors. It destroys pastoral staffs. It limits God's blessing on churches. It weakens ministries. It hurts Christian schools. It damages a church's reputation. It breaks the hearts of many people. It confuses baby Christians. It blinds seasoned Christians. Dr. Don Smith and I have spoken on many occasions in recent days. I remember not long ago, and more than one time, hearing Dr. Smith. Now, remember, he was the pastor of this church for 35 years. Now, he is pastor emeritus of this church, and I am now the pastor. And I remember him saying this to me on more than one occasion. He said, I won't be disloyal to you, Brother Owens, because it's happened to me. And I don't want to cause you the kind of pain that people have caused me through the years. And may I say, he has been a very loyal man. And he is a great man, and I thank God for him. Now, I know of no one who is behaving in a disloyal way in our church. We're unified. We're experiencing revival. We have seen about 300 people saved in the last 5 or 6 weeks right here in this auditorium. This is not a sermon to fix something that is broken. Hope not at all. This is the best way to preach a sermon of this nature. I am not under attack. Our church is not under attack. There is, to my knowledge, no disloyal little group of people in our church misbehaving. This is a preventative maintenance sermon. We may be the most unified church in all of America, but I like to keep it that way. I like what we have going on around here. And I discovered a long time ago, the best way to solve a problem is before it ever happens. I like preventing things from happening rather than waiting and you're in the midst of the battle and trying to figure out how to bail the water out of the sinking ship. I'd rather we not have any water in the ship. And so, if there's a disloyal skunk in our midst, they're hiding it. I don't know that. At this point, their stink must be masked with a phony perfume of friendship, because I know of no one that is being disloyal. Now, all of us have a sinful nature. All of us are capable of this nasty sin of disloyalty, and some even show tendencies that would say they're apt to be disloyal. But I know of none, and I hope it's not you, and I hope it's not me. The story of Judas teaches us and warns us of the behavior and the results of disloyalty. Let this sermon keep you from being the disloyal one. Let this sermon keep you away from the influence of those that have that tendency to be disloyal. Hey, to those of you that are young Christians, you've not been around for long, and you look at the church and you say, man, what a fantastic place, and indeed it is. And you say, what unity, and indeed we have it. I almost hate to tell you that every once in a while there's somebody that gets contrary in the church and the devil gets inside them and they misbehave and they hurt their own church. I almost hate to tell you that if you're a young Christian, but I think you're better off being warned that potential is there before you're deceived or hurt because it comes upon you unknowingly. Let me rehearse the details of this tragic story. I have been studying the story of Judas and his betrayal and his disloyalty for many, many months. I decided back before the month of April started that a couple of weeks after the conclusion of the month of April that I would preach this sermon, and I've had it ready, I've had it planned, and this morning I do so. Let me rehearse the details of this tragic backstabbing series of wicked events. We're going to gather details from all four of the Gospels because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each one shed a little different light on this tragic event. It starts with Jesus Christ allowing a man by the name of Judas to become one of his 12 disciples. You can read about it in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus entrusts Judas with some leadership in a spiritual organization. God allows Judas some influence. So, Judas, the disloyal one, now looks like one of the good guys. The devil puts into Judas's heart to be disloyal and to betray Jesus Christ. He's going to turn on Jesus. He is an enemy already in his heart, but that enemy behavior is going to bleed out slowly but surely. Right before Judas betrays his leader was very good to him. Jesus actually washes Judas's feet at a foot washing time found in John chapter 13. You got to picture it now. Jesus is bowing down humbly in the presence of the one that is going to betray him, and he's washing his dirty, stinky feet for him. So you see Jesus being good to the betrayer. Right before Judas's disloyalty, he wrongly takes the Lord's Supper. Luke chapter 22, you can read about it. Judas did not qualify to take the Lord's Supper. And again, he makes himself look like he's one of the good guys by being there for this spiritual ritual, if you will, at the Lord's Supper time. Judas is there. The other 11 disciples are there. Jesus is there. And at the Lord's Supper, before the public betrayal, remember the betrayal was already in Judas's heart, but at this Lord's Supper, Jesus publicly teaches about someone in their midst is disloyal. They're sharing a meal there. And Jesus says specifically, one of you 12 is about to become disloyal. You can read about it in Luke chapter number 22. And suddenly these 12 men sitting around the table with Jesus, they begin to question one another. Is it you? Is it me? And everybody denies that it could possibly be them, even the one who is the betrayer. Judas, the Bible teaches, was strategically watching for the opportunity to be disloyal, according to Matthew 26:16. He at first starts his disloyal venture in the dark. You see, in John chapter 13, it says that they had this Lord's Supper time, and at the end of the meal, it is now dark and night, and Judas slips off by himself alone. He's about to hide his betrayal. He finds a select few others who also are willing to be disloyal, and in Matthew 26, verse 14, he goes to the chief priest who doesn't like Jesus, and Judas knew that, so he slips out in the night and he goes and finds somebody else that also disliked Jesus. Judas, this disloyal one, is looking for personal gain from his disloyalty. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 15, he actually asked the chief priest, "What will you give me if I betray Jesus?" And they make an agreement that he's going to get 30 pieces of silver out of his disloyalty. He tells the chief priest then where Jesus can be found. See, they did not know where Jesus was. And so Judas tells the chief priest, "You can find Jesus at such and such place so that you can destroy his ministry." Then, not only does Judas and the chief priest show up to hurt the ministry of Christ, a whole band of men show up to mistreat and arrest Jesus. So it went from a select few disloyal people to a whole band of disloyal people. Jesus at that time, when this band of people show up with Judas, Jesus and the other 11 disciples were busy praying. They were praying. You say, what were they doing? They were doing the work of the ministry. Do you realize they had to get up off of their knees to stop the work of the ministry to answer the disloyalty of Judas and these people? Judas told the chief priests and this band of enemies that he would kiss Jesus on the cheek to signify which one of these people were the Christ. We call it the kiss of blood. You say, why? Because Jesus had just previously been praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says that in that garden he had been praying and sweating great drops of blood. On the cheek of Jesus Christ was the blood that had come forth in his pores from his deep agonizing prayer for the good of mankind. And Judas goes over and places a kiss on that cheek, and it was a bloody kiss. That then signified to these soldiers which one was Jesus Christ, and they took him to brutally crucify him. Now what happens? Judas, after the damage that he has created, he comes to himself. Here they are. They're dragging Jesus off. One of his inner circle has betrayed him and has become disloyal. And now they're dragging Jesus Christ off to be crucified and mocked and beaten. And Judas shakes himself and he kind of comes to himself. He takes that 30 pieces of silver that he received and he takes it back to the chief priest. And he says, "I was wrong." And the chief priest says, "Buddy, that's your problem." Judas realizes he has betrayed innocent blood. The Bible says he cast down the 30 pieces of silver. That was the blood money from being a deceiver, a betrayer, and a disloyal person. The Bible says Judas went out then and hung himself. You say, why? Because disloyalty will make you feel so bad about yourself that you won't be able to live with yourself like you could have lived had you been loyal. Now, that's the story, but let's examine it a little more carefully. And again, this morning we'll examine the first half of the story. Tonight, we'll conclude with the second half of the story. The whole purpose of this sermon is to keep our church healthy. Right now, we're in top spiritual condition. And I'd like to see us stay in top spiritual condition. And so listen very carefully. Number one, Jesus allows Judas to be one of the 12 disciples. If we wanted to, we could read about it. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. Judas was chosen. Evidently, Judas had some leadership ability. Maybe that leadership ability went to his head. Maybe pride overcame Judas. Let me say to everybody in this church building, including myself, if you have any influence in this church, if you have any influence over God's people, and we all are influencing someone, if you have any influence at all, that influence is God-given. Don't misuse it. Don't use it to pull people away from purity. Use it to prompt people toward purity. Jesus allowed Judas to be one of the 12. And that's where this story starts. Do not ever use your leadership abilities, which are given to you by God,
to hurt God or God's work or God's church. Don't let your leadership go to your head. Don't you get to thinking that God needs you to fix His church. I'd be very, very careful. Jesus allowed Judas to become one of the 12 disciples. And then Judas misuses the leadership that Jesus allowed to be developed in Judas's life. Number two, Judas, the disloyal one, being one of the disciples, he's involved in some good things. He was involved in some good things. He looked like one of the good guys. He had learned to talk like the good guys. He probably said amen in church. Hey, if there was a song that he liked, maybe every once in a while, he'd raise his Bible up. He looked like one of the good guys. He acted like one of the good guys. I know a man, he was in a particular church. He went out and he had some buttons that you pin onto your lapel. He had them printed. It said on the button, 100% behind the pastor. He went around and distributed them everywhere. Within months, he was the very person who betrayed that very pastor. It became a big joke. There were people wearing buttons that said 100% behind the pastor that were printed, paid for, and distributed by a man that had become disloyal, left the church, and stabbed the pastor in the back. You see, Judas was the disloyal one, but he looked so good. He seemed to be religious, but he was against Jesus and would soon betray him. He was the one, in Judas's case, Judas happened to be the one that kept the bag. You say, what does that mean? It has nothing to do with a woman or a wife. It says he kept the bag. That was the bag in just a little theology for you there. That was the bag in which they kept the funds. He was kind of the disciples' treasurer. Often, people get positions in a church. It goes to their head. And then they use the leadership allowed them, the position allowed them, and they use it to be disloyal. That's what happened to Judas here. So, I said this. I said, number one, Jesus allowed Judas to be one of the 12. Number two, Jesus allowing Judas to be one of the 12, Judas then looked like one of the good guys. Number three, the devil put this disloyalty into the heart of Judas. The devil put it there. The Bible says this in John 13:2. It says, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Disloyalty, betrayal, is of the devil. It is demonic. It is evil. It is a human being used to do the work of the devil against the church and the church's leadership. Disloyalty in the church is equal to gangrene in the human body. It'll rot you away. It starts on the inside. And it'll eat its way out until it becomes vicious, nasty, putrid, rank, and finally, destructive. So let me tell you why. So when Satan put disloyalty into the heart of Judas, let me tell you why Satan is so good at it. Because Satan is the ultimate in disloyalty.
Right.
He's the master at disloyalty. You say, how so, Brother Owens? I'll tell you how so. You realize that Satan at one time, Lucifer, was in heaven. He was one of the angels of heaven. He is the key to all disloyalty. He was in heaven. He rose up against his leader in heaven. He turned one-third of heaven's angels on God himself. And ever since then, one of his most powerful persuasions and influences is his mastery at disloyalty. He actually convinced those other simple-minded angels to turn, walk out of heaven, split heaven, and now they all suffer for all eternity. because of their disloyalty and their influence by the disloyal master of disloyalty, Satan himself. See, Judas's heart was not right with God, which, so you know, is a perfect condition for disloyalty to start. The time you start rejecting what is preached from the Bible, you are making your heart fertile soil for the seed of disloyalty. I'll show you. You go to a church where there's disloyalty, you'll find a little pocket of people that have been rejecting the very same truth. They'll get together about that truth's rejection. They'll combine their efforts and attack the truth and the deliverer of the truth.
Right.
Not obeying the Word of God prepares your heart for disloyalty. Judas's heart was not right with God. Could I ask you a question? Are you right with God? Is your heart right with God? I said, Jesus allowed Judas to become one of the 12. Judas's disloyalty. Actually, at first, he looked like one of the good guys. It was the devil that put this disloyalty into the heart of Judas. Then Jesus was good to the disloyal one. You realize that I said this earlier in the introduction. Jesus actually washes the feet of Judas. So you know, Jesus knew who the disloyal one was. He still knelt at the feet of a disloyal... Hey, listen. You think the feet of Judas's heart... The feet of Judas's body stank. I'll guarantee you his heart was far more putrid than his feet. But Jesus knelt at his feet and washed his feet. Jesus was kind to Judas. Jesus shares a meal with Judas. Jesus didn't attack Judas, though he knew Judas was attacking him. You know what Jesus did? He tried to win Judas over. Gave him gifts. Was kind to him. Gentle to him. I don't know. Maybe because of this kind, gentle treatment, Judas thought that Jesus was somewhat an idiot. You know, he's stupid. He's washing my feet. I already betrayed him. He shared a meal with me. I'm his enemy. No. The greatness of Jesus Christ, he had to fulfill the Scripture, and the Scripture says for someone to do right, they have to love their enemies. Jesus was loving his enemy, and the enemy obviously was blind to the depth of that love. Speaking of gossip in a church, get this. Mildred, the church gossip, kept sticking her nose into the other church members' private lives. Church members were unappreciative of her activities, but feared her enough to maintain their silence. She made a mistake, however, when she accused George, a new church member. She accused him of being an alcoholic after she saw his pickup truck parked in front of a bar. She commented to George and others that everyone seeing that pickup in front of that bar would know what he was doing there. George, a man of few words, just stared at her for a moment with this accusation and then just walked away. He didn't explain. He didn't defend. He didn't deny. George said nothing. Later that evening, George quietly parked his pickup truck in front of Mildred's house and just left it set there all night. Oh, how a few words can destroy the reputation of another. Judas received some fine, gentlemanly treatment from Jesus Christ. Number 5, Judas took the Lord's Supper on the eve of his wicked disloyalty. The Bible says in Luke chapter 22, verse 19 through 20, it says, "And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new testament of my blood which is shed for you." If we took the time to read the entire passage of Scripture about the Lord's Supper, the Bible warns us not to take the Lord's Supper if we're not right with God. But Judas did. The Bible even goes as far to say that people that will take the Lord's Supper when they're not right with God, they could even bring it to the point that they may suffer death from wrongly taking the Lord's Supper. Judas did. Judas died after having taken the Lord's Supper and becoming disloyal. You say, "Brother Owens, give me one of the circumstances under which God may retract someone's life having taken the Lord's Supper wrongly." Disloyalty. That's a proven fact by this Scripture. It wasn't many hours later, Judas was a dead man. Disloyalty could bring one's death. See, Judas must have been awful arrogant to take the Lord's Supper in public while attacking his leader in private and planning an attack. That's pretty arrogant. The tongue that tasted the juice of the Lord's Supper is the tongue that attacked the man of God, God's man, Jesus Christ. Well, of course, Judas wanted himself to look like he was a loyal follower. It's the way it often happens. You see, this story is one of the most negative of the Bible. Oh, everybody's heard of old Judas. I feel so sorry for ministries and people in the ministry across the country when the devil launches an attack and disloyalty and all its viciousness is unloosed and the damage that it causes a church. And for me, I love what's going on at our church way too much to glibly sit by and wonder. I want us to learn. I want us not to make these mistakes. I don't want us to mess up what God's doing in this place. I don't want us to mess up our lives. I don't want you to be hurt. I don't want me to be hurt. I don't want the ministry of God to be hurt. It is not. I do not stand here today and say, "Boy, I just love teaching something like this." But honestly, if you're going to teach on it, it's better to teach on it when everything in your church is great and good and everybody's on the same page. I feel sorry for those pastors that have to stand up and try to preach a sermon like this after the fact when everybody's vicious and nasty and rude and backbiting and the church is split and their reputation in the community is destroyed. Thank God. Thank God. Let's just take the lessons and learn the lessons and learn from them and not let these mistakes come into our church. Number six. At the Lord's Supper, Jesus actually reveals that one of the 12 is disloyal. The Bible says in Luke chapter 22, verse 21, 22 and 23, it says, "But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table." They're actually sitting at a table, and Jesus says, "One of you sitting at this table, you're the one that's going to be disloyal. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." They began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. Jesus actually says, "The person that will betray me is right at this table right now." And they questioned one another, but all denied the disloyalty. The Scripture would have showed it had one of them said, "It's me." They all started asking among themselves, "Is it you? Is it me?" Everybody shrugged their shoulders and said, "It's not me. It's not me." You can be dead sure the disloyal one won't admit to it. Matter of fact, they may be some of the first to say after a sermon like this, "Well, I'm not disloyal," either in their hearts, in their minds, or with their mouth. They won't admit it to themselves. They won't admit it to others. The last thing they'll call it is disloyalty, because, of course, disloyalty being one of the sins that are at the bottom of the scum bucket of the wicked sin nature of man. They may convince themselves that their disloyalty is right, but they've lied to themselves. They've lied to others. They lie to themselves about their own evil. And just so you know, sin and evil are two different things. Sin is what you do that hurts you. Evil is a complex sin because evil is what you do and it hurts others. We're not to hurt others. It's bad enough that we hurt ourselves with the sins in our lives, but you become evil when you launch an attack on others. This disloyal person, they may wrongly be convinced that they're doing God a favor, but you don't do God a favor when you practice disloyalty. So there they are at the Lord's Supper. Jesus reveals that one of them is disloyal, but that one denies it to the crowd. Number 7, Judas was strategically watching for an opportunity to be disloyal. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 16, the Bible says, "And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him." He sought the opportunity. He sought it. He watched and hoped for negatives about his leader, which he could use to criticize his leader. He tried to dig up negatives that would strengthen his disloyal case in his mind against that leader. That's exactly what happened. Understand it. He sought opportunity to betray him. In other words, his brain was going down the disloyal path and looking for any opportunity he could find to become or to show his disloyalty. Judas was sitting on the edge of his seat, hoping to discover ways to betray the leader. He constantly added to his little notebook of evil, criticisms, and opportunities for his disloyalty. Listen to this. Luke chapter 22, verse number 4 says, "And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them." It says he communed. You know what that meant? He had concentrated, he planned, he organized, and he actually brainstormed on how to be a betrayer. How could he do this? His mind was disloyally organized for action. Those of you that struggle with the subject of loyalty, if I were you, I'd work on it. It'll destroy you if you're not careful. You can't figure out how to be disloyal to your husband you can't figure out how to be loyal to your husband or loyal to your wife or loyal to your country or loyal. Hey, there's some people that just struggle being loyal to anything. They can't even be loyal to themselves. You better be careful. You better be careful. You're the prime kind of person that will rise up in a church and destroy a church. Destroy people in a church. Loyalty. Oh, be careful. It's a wicked, controlling, nasty, arrogant, prideful sin. Judas was disloyal in the dark. You see, the Bible says in John 13:30, "He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night." You see, the Bible says here, after they had shared the Lord's Supper, Judas slipped out by himself alone. He was sneaky. Disloyalty has that tendency to sneak and to cover up. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They're sly, hiding behind closed doors, only articulating disloyal criticisms at the house, in private, over the private phone line, out to eat, picking your victims to spread your venom to carefully. In the church parking lot, away from the loyal people. Cautious, look who's coming. Change your conversation. Luke chapter 22, verse number 6, it says, "And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude." You see, he knew the multitude loved Jesus, so Judas, he had to sow his discord in the absence of the multitude. Little pockets of people. One individual at a time. Just the family members. Judas was disloyal in the dark. Cautious. Careful, strategic. It was planned. He had an evil mind. Number 9, Judas finds a select few with whom to share his disloyalty. The Bible says in Matthew 26, verse 14, "Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priest." He knew that the chief priest was out to get Jesus. He strategically went to the chief priest. He carefully finds someone who agrees with his dislike for this spiritual leader. It's done in the dark. He feels out the conversation as to who will receive the disloyal talk. Then after testing the water, then and only then, he spews his venom. He found someone, you know what? Judas found someone who was glad that Judas was betraying the Christ. Listen to this. Mark 14:11. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him that money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. These people said, "We are so glad you're against him. We are so glad that you're willing to speak up." What they said. They actually complimented him. For what? Disloyalty. For someone to assume that you're willing to be disloyal, for someone to assume you're willing to stand for disloyalty, is a terrible slap in your spiritual face. It is a degrading suggestion that you would lower yourself. That's how poorly they think of you. Somebody knows of a spiritual weakness that you have, and they will therefore capitalize on that weakness. It's a virtual slap in your face. They believe that you're willing to buy in. Number 10, Judas wanted to conveniently be disloyal. Mark 14:11 says this, "And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him." Conveniently? Conveniently? Maybe he didn't want it to look exactly like a vicious plot of disloyalty, but we all know what it was. I mean, we've heard the story. We know what Judas did. But it was a convenient thing. He wanted to be careful with this thing. Maybe he wanted to conveniently convince others who helped him that he had their best interest in mind. If he could be conveniently disloyal, maybe some would not recognize what an evil schemer he really was and how far away from God he really was. He wanted to save face. He wanted to come out of this vile, wicked sin of disloyalty still looking like a good guy. Hiding like a thorn among the roses. He was a mastermind at being two-faced. Matthew chapter 26, verse 25, it says, "Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto them, Thou hast said," picture this, Jesus tells there is a betrayer. He says, one of you at this table is going to betray me. Judas pulls Jesus aside in private and says, "Master, is it I?" Wait a minute here. If you look at the verses just prior, Judas has already betrayed him. He has already betrayed him. Then he turns and says in private, "Is it me?" He wanted, even in the presence of Christ, to make it look as if he's loyal. He's loyal. Next, Judas, the disloyal one, sought personal gain. He wanted to gain something out of this. Boy, folks, isn't that the way it is? Isn't that the way it is when we get ourselves into trouble? Hasn't pride entered in? Hasn't our stinginess entered in? Anytime someone practices evil things, it's not all about doing good to others. It's about hurting others. Listen to this. I said Judas, the disloyal one, sought personal gain. The Bible says this in Matthew 26:15, "And said unto them, What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver." He wanted gain. He said, "What are you going to give me if I'm disloyal?" You see, maybe it is. Let me tell you what happens in churches. See, Judas wanted to get something out of his disloyalty. Judas had his own gain in mind, his own self-interest. What happens in churches? Oh, somebody didn't get a leadership position they wanted, so they become disloyal to the leadership. Are you like that right now? What is it that you can't have or did not get? So as a result, that disloyalty started churning in your heart. And you wanted that. You don't have that. And as a result, has disloyalty taken root? Maybe Judas wanted some attention. He got it. He wanted some attention that he had not received. Maybe he wanted the gain of revenge. I've watched people in churches lose positions. And because they did, Satan entered their heart. Disloyalty took root. And because they ended up giving up or losing a position, they end up becoming an attacker and an enemy of the leader. Some gain. Maybe they wanted to gain the revenge that's inside their heart. Oh, that's what creates disloyalty. Disloyalty. Judas sought personal gain. Disloyal people are often jealous people. Jealous people wanting something that others have. I've watched men in churches that thought they ought to become the pastor. Maybe the primary pastor had stepped down or stepped away, and somebody else thought, I ought to be the next pastor. But the church did not call them, and so as a result of it, somebody in the church becomes disloyal. They thought they should be the pastor. They should be in charge. And that disloyalty begins to churn in their hearts. Maybe a child has become loyal to some church leader. So a parent becomes jealous. That parent would not stand for their child to have loyalty to anyone but them. So that parent disloyally attacks that leader. Happens with husbands. Happens with wives. I've watched disloyal employees, disloyal Christian school employees, destroy the spirit of the school. I know down in Alabama, I knew of a church where a disloyal school employee pulled out and went and started a school to compete with the school of his home church. Oh, how he hurt the people. And to this day, that assistant pastor down in Alabama is one of the most miserable men I've ever met in my life. Someone who they used to have some power in the church, but they don't anymore, so they seek to regain that power. I know an assistant pastor that got upset and he felt like he should get more attention in a given church situation than what he received. And so he split off that church, went right up the road. He started a church up the road to compete with the church that at one time had been his employer. Why? Jealousy. Jealousy. Could not handle someone else to be in charge. Could not handle someone filling a position he wanted. He had gain in mind. He wanted to gain something. Disloyalty comes from a stingy heart. Disloyalty. Today, we've looked at 11 areas in this story of disloyal Judas. Again, we don't have any problems in our church. None. But to keep problems from arising, it is wise that we be trained. The Bible says, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. You are not unknowledgeable. You've heard enough this morning to help keep our church strong for a long, long time to come. But you come back tonight, and then we can add a few more years to that, because this evening we'll finish the story of disloyal Judas. This morning, I've spoken to our church. I've not primarily spoken to those of you that might be visitors or lost. But let me tell you something. If you're here today and you're not saved, we would invite you to the Savior. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful expression of loyalty. Trusting as your Savior the one who died for you. Jesus Christ created you. He died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you to make it so you could go to heaven. One of the most loyal things you could do is turn to Him and say, I'd like for you to be my Savior. What an expression of loyalty, and the rejection of is an expression of disloyalty, and that disloyalty will cost you hell. Because He was loyal to you all the way to the grave. The Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, Jesus Christ was loyal to you all the way to the grave in spite of the fact that you've been a sinner against Him. Now there is ultimate loyalty from God to man. If man receives Christ as Savior, man has expressed loyalty to his Maker. For man to reject Jesus Christ as Savior is to spit in His face and to exercise the ultimate disloyalty. And that disloyalty will cost a lost person hell. Is he trying to scare me? No, I'm just simply teaching you the truth of the Bible. That's all. If you're here today and you're saved, thank God for it. If you're here today and you're part of a church that has ultimate unity, thank God for it. Let's keep it that way. If you're here today and you're not saved, we invite you to the Savior. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.